So We Like Dota, episode 16, starts now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Sabone Yinger. Compliments of... Who made a comment about that? I don't even remember.
That was New Account Bitches.
New Account Bitches was upset that I say my name too quickly and wasn't sure what my name is. Which is fair, because it's a weird name.
Yeah. Right. It's French for soap.
Correct. It's also a typeface.
Right.
For the record, it's Brian... Sabone, in quotes.
Right.
Yinger.
Okay.
And I'm also joined by Jared Clyde Frog Pedersen. How's it going, Jared?
I'm doing wonderful tonight, Brian.
And we're also joined in a unprecedented...
Second
time in a week? Was Ben here last week?
No, I don't think he was here last week, actually.
Okay.
So unprecedented, second time in 3 weeks.
Correct.
Which happened before, yeah. So it was precedented.
We're happy to welcome back friend of the show... Ben Yadneb Day. How's it going, Ben?
Great. I'm glad to be here for the second time in 3 weeks.
Yeah. It seems important.
Right.
It's very monumental.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's
somehow
get into the show,
like,
guys.
Somehow I feel like you're trolling us.
No.
Right. So we're going to start off every week as we do and talk about what we played. Jared, who'd you play this week?
So I had to look back and actually see who I played this past week because
My
week has been... all but crazy, dealing with in-laws and just not too fun of things.
I heard you played a lot of Vyard work.
Yeah. Anyway, but I played some Centaur War Runner.
Yeah, you did.
I think he's my favorite hero right now, except for Undying, obviously.
Right.
Whatever.
Unfortunately.
And then played another match as Alchemist.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's still terrible now after the change to his unstable concoction.
Yeah.
It's bad, so bad.
I saw a couple matches that EG drafted him, and...
You really have to play him as a farmer now.
He dropped off super hard.
So hard.
In 6.8.
So hard.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's
okay.
Nuts.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, Jared.
Yeah, I know. I loved him so much.
Yeah. Ben, how about you? What did you play?
Yeah, I played a lot of Luna, so did quite a few matches with Luna, and then... yeah, as we're going to get to the compendium here later, I played a little bit of some characters outside of my norm. So I did a little Lifestealer.
Okay.
Ooh.
Lifestealer and a little Ogre Magi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, both were really fun. Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Teaser.
And I continued...
Sufficiently teased.
I continued to play a ton of Mirana, and I played a little Ancient Apparition.
Ooh.
And...
the one that you called nearly worthless. Not even two months ago.
We'll talk about my play for him during the compendium update. but yeah, so that was a good time. I also played some Hearthstone.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
You know, I failed at the arena in that. And that was fun. Ben and I did a little streaming Friday evening.
We did.
Yeah.
We had up to 4 viewers. Ben, up to 4.
Wow. And I think 2 of them were you on 2 different devices.
That's so cheating.
Potentially.
So cheating.
Padding my numbers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Padding the stats.
One was Jared.
Possibly.
Yeah. Possibly.
I did just leave it open for a while.
Okay,
while
good.
I was out doing other things.
Revenue. Revenue, Jared. Revenue.
Get it streamed in.
Yeah. But anyway, we had a community night Friday evening.
Yeah.
And before we talk about it, we are pleased to announce that 7:30 Eastern Daylight Time.
Or standard, depending on the day.
Right.
The time of year.
Friday evenings at 7:30 Eastern Time.
Eastern Time.
The only time zone that matters.
Yes, absolutely.
That's when our weekly community night is going to be.
Yeah.
So,
exciting stuff.
Field Studies has been great at heading that up and organizing that and getting everything together. But it was Ben and I and 8 other people. Ben, there are 8 people who wanted to play games
with
us.
There was an entire group of people wanting to play with
us. That's so nuts.
Great.
I was very jealous.
Yeah.
I was telling my wife about this, and then my in-laws overheard, and they're like, well, why couldn't they be over here and helping us if they're just playing games?
Why can't they do yard work for us?
They can help us through the internet.
I was like... I want to be playing games right now.
Yeah, that's okay.
I want to be doing yard work.
Yeah, That's okay.
But I went out and did yard work.
Yeah.
It's yard work stuff.
We all felt bad for you, Jeremy. Yeah, Ben, I think we can confirm that our listening audience is really cool.
They were very nice. Yeah, they were fun to play with. Very, no raging on it of any
sort. No raging.
That's because I wasn't there, obviously.
Well, yes, you weren't there. But yeah, I mean.
Because I would rage.
It was a positive experience. I guess we'd just put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree. We had a fun time. We played a couple matches. And I think next time we should definitely do Captain's Mode.
Ooh. Yes.
I think we should make that a, I think we should do, anything but all pick from here on out.
Right, because some of those were pretty bad, some of the balances on the teams, I think. So
yeah, we need to figure out some teams that work well.
Well, and, yeah, and go I from mean,
there, but
yeah.
Yeah, long story short, we had a fun time. Friday nights, 7:30 Eastern time. I can't guarantee the three of us will be there every single time, but we'll try and make it, and we'll have a good time.
I definitely will.
Yeah.
My wife's working, I'm there.
All right, very good. Okay, so guys, big news this week.
Drop it, Brian.
The compendium for the International 4 was released.
So we were correct. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is purple this year.
Weird. All right.
But yeah, the compendium costs $10. It's a in-game item for Dota 2.
Okay.
You pay $10 in...
So it's less than the EG Earthshaker set.
Correct, which is $17.
It's like I think it's like $12.99 or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy.
But it's pretty cool.
But anyways, the compendium is $10, and $2.50 of that goes to the International 4 prize pool. And it has only been out since today is Sunday. It's been out since Friday.
Friday, yeah.
And the prize pool is already up to $3.3 million.
Insane.
Absolutely which insane. Last year, the International 3 prize pool was $2.8 million. And
this is so nuts.
Well, the player base is double what it was last year.
Right. So even, yeah, so I guess you would expect the prize pool to about double.
I think the prize pool would get up to $5 million.
Well, yeah, at this point, I definitely think that it would.
That's crazy. $5 million. What do you think first place will get?
Usually 50% of that.
Oh my gosh, $2.5 million.
Yeah, so, you know.
That's crazy.
Approximately $500,000 to each player.
Yeah.
Insane.
That's pretty okay. I'll take it.
That's doing pretty okay.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay.
Road to TI5.
So let's talk about what you get with the compendium, because it is a Ben, how would you describe it? It's like a digital book, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's like a almost like a flash book or something. So it's just a digital item, but it has a lot of different information. So it has a table of contents, has an index, and there's tons of sections with this. So it's like almost like a digital book.
It's exactly what
Ben,
it is.
Then it's almost like you interned at QVC or something.
Right. It's purple. If you want to know what color it is.
So the way it works is, depending on how large the prize pool gets, there are different rewards that people who buy the compendium get.
Stretch goals, if you will.
Stretch goals. Yeah. Very Kickstarter inspired.
Right.
So the first one is at $1.8 million. There's 7 stretch goals have been released so far. So the first one is an evolving battle point booster. And ooh. I think right now it's up to 200%, correct?
Right.
200%.
A 200% battle point booster until the end of the International 4.
Right. There's some debate as to whether that's actually working correctly or not, because it's not real clear. I think they needed to work on the interface.
Well, is it with like stacking and weird stuff like that, it's not working, or
I'm not sure.
Okay, fair.
Like, there's no icon. I think there should be something that's really. It looks like you're getting extra sometimes, and then sometimes you're not. And
if it's from what I forms,
it's confusing.
From what I remember last year, it's stacked. So I remember getting like the bonus was way more than what you'd actually get for playing a match.
Yeah,
right. And it's not there yet, which I think it will be. But I don't know. It looks like it's a little glitchy at the moment. But
Valve, that makes
they'll
sense.
Get it. Yeah, come Valve, on, Volvo.
Fix.
Yeah,
fix,
come
on. Fix Volvo.
Right.
Number two is at $2 million. That is unlock a few treasures containing Dota 2 loading
ooh,
screens.
Classy.
Which I haven't seen any of these because I've been gone all weekend.
I don't think that they're out yet either. I haven't gotten any. Either mine's bugged or it's not out yet.
Okay. So. I hope yours.
So this started at.
I hope yours is bugged and you get none of these.
I'd be so angry.
The prize pool started at $1.5 million, or like what?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it started at $1.5 million.
So that was Valve's contribution
Number three, unlock the ability for compendium owners to vote on which hero should receive the next Arcana item.
Interesting.
Which the Arcana items are like the...
Anything but Pudge.
Correct. Any, right. Please, guys.
And there is actually, I think there's actually an internet movement to prevent that from happening.
I hope to Jesus that happens.
I don't know. The entire Russian player base is going to want Pudge, though.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So I hope we outnumber
So what is
the
an
Russians.
Arcana item, Brian?
Well, there's already one for Lena and I believe Terrorblade. For Lena, it changes, you get like a special skin, it makes her hair on fire.
Okay.
It changes all the icons. She gets like some different sounds.
So would this be like that Earthshaker set?
Yeah. Well, even more so. It'll change probably animations. There'll be new skins. With Terrorblade, you can even put gems in the items that change the color of his weapons.
That's stupid. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's loading screens, different voiceovers.
Well, with the Earthshaker set, it changes his fissure.
Yeah.
So
it'll be like that, except even more so.
Crazy. All right.
So
anyway.
I don't think we'll get it, though. I think we just get to choose what the next one is.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's like a $15 pack or something.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Okay. Goal four, unlock a new compendium-themed HUD.
Of course.
Which I had the one from last year, and it was pretty cool.
Neat.
Number five, unlock the ability for compendium owners to vote on the participants of an 8-player solo championship at the International.
I don't even know what that means.
Which,
what is that?
This was last year. I think it was a one-on-one.
It's a solo mid-competition.
Solo mid-competition, yeah.
Wow, okay.
And was it Sing Sing that won that last
year? I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
I think he won it on Puck, I think.
Well, and what they do normally with these solo mids is they play the same hero.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
so it's a mirror match.
You do a best of three, and you just alternate who chooses or something like that.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, that's really cool, because they do like first to however many deaths or first tower down, I think.
Right.
Or something like that.
Or GG call.
Or GG, yeah. Okay, number six, unlock all random deathmatch game mode.
All random deathmatch.
Right.
I'm in.
I think it's live. I think that's actually in the game now.
For really? Everyone,
I believe
not
so.
Just compendium owners.
It's a new mode that's just going to be out there.
What is that?
It's it's exactly as it sounds. It's all random. Well, I don't know. Deathmatch game mode is different.
So wait. Does this, like, every time you die, you change heroes?
Well, I guess I don't. I thought I understood it. I figured it was just like a totally all random mode, but apparently it's something different.
I was hoping you would say, it's just what it sounds like, Brian, all random deathmatch.
Right.
You're like the person who tries to describe words in the dictionary with the definition, right. with the actual word that you're trying to define.
So if you were to think of a death match, but it being all random, I think that's what we're going to get.
Well, I would assume you'll be in the first person. You'll probably get a plasma gun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. I would imagine that it might be you just are random heroes, and you change every time you die. That'd be pretty neat.
That sounds fun.
That's pretty cool. I don't know. I guess I'm excited to know what it is, but I do think it's in the game.
Hopefully I get Meepo.
It might be something like the ultra rapid fire mode from League of Legends, where there's 80% cooldown reduction and no mana cost.
Oh, that's nuts.
Well, yeah. I know a friend of the show, Chris, I think for League of Legends, they have an all random, all mid.
Okay.
Mode, which
maybe
I
it's
think
something
is really,
like that.
Really popular mode.
All random, all mid.
Right.
That sounds terrible. That sounds terrible.
No, that sounds fun.
No way. All right.
Number seven. And this will be the last one that we talked about.
Because it's the only one that's unlocked at this point. Yeah, go.
Unlock a treasure containing Valve created immortal items, which last year I got a special Pudge hook.
How much did you sell that thing for?
I have not sold it, but I think I'm going to.
You should.
I bet it's worth at least 95 cents.
Because at the time, I didn't realize how much I hated Pudge.
Right.
Yeah.
You should sell that thing.
The guy's mostly worthless.
Right. Yeah.
At least for team fighting.
That's all right. Guys, did I tell you I'm out of space cash, by the way? It's gone.
What? You had like $50 in space cash.
I don't even know where it is. It's just gone. Space cash is now empty.
That's space bank was robbed?
My space cash is gone.
Space bank. That's a shame. What did you all spend it on, Ben?
Did you buy some games at least? Or
I did buy a couple games.
Okay, good. Hopefully not just
mostly,
Dota items.
I think it was mostly Dota items, but I have no idea. We did buy that
Luna set. You did get that really nice Luna set.
I did buy that.
It's all spiky.
You know what? I put a good chunk of it. I think I bought the South Park RPG.
Stick of Truth.
The Stick of Truth.
How is that, by the way?
Oh, it's pretty fun. I mean, it's certainly inappropriate.
Have you beat it already?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
I really want to borrow that from you.
You can, yeah. If we can figure out how the Steam borrowing works, we can do that.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get that going.
Cool.
And I would assume you bought your compendium with that as well.
I did buy my, yeah, that was okay. The last purchase. Appropriately enough, that was my last.
It's $10. It's a great value.
Yeah, it feels like yeah. That was where the last $10 should have gone.
I like it even just for the fact that you support esports.
Yeah, right. Esports.
I think that's great.
Right.
Esports.
Which are fun. I mean, I've been to some live events and they're fun. I don't usually get into it, but can be a good time.
Yeah. We went to MLG Columbus and we saw the Dr. Pepper girls with the weird shorty shorts. And we got the free chocolate covered pretzels.
Right. It smelled like pretzels and
Mountain
body
Dew.
Odor and yeah.
No, Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper, yeah. Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's all sorts of things. And so there are the stretch goals, but also your compendium can level up. If you want to go back a page here, Jared.
Okay.
Yeah. The table of contents.
So yep, your compendium can also level up. And depending on what level...
What does that mean, Brian?
What level your compendium is, you get different rewards as well.
What?
So as you play games, your compendium will level up as well. And you can also pay to level up. Which is also fun.
This is getting confusing.
It is very confusing.
Okay, continue.
Which I think I saw that if you buy 2,400 points right off the bat, which is $9.99, mm-hmm. you get like instant level 26 or something
right.
like that.
Right, I think to get to level 50, you'd probably have to spend about $50 tops. But you also...
It infinitely levels up, though.
Right, and the points drop during matches, too. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
So you can actually earn points just through the matches.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Much like right. a treasure chest or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So if you play a lot of games, I would imagine you're going to get at least to the level...
Well, 10. And I mean, look at this. So level 100, it says that you get a 500 battle point booster. 500% right. battle point booster. Right. So basically you can just start infinitely like getting a loop of like leveling your hero and or your game and your compendium.
So that's got to be like an item for every match played.
Right.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, there's no cap. You guys read the bottom yeah. there? There's no yeah. cap to the battle booster.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll go over the right. first 10 levels here real quick. Level 1, 200% battle point booster. Level 2, 210%. Level 3, some extra load screens.
I like that they have now added that you can shuffle those load screens.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a cool...
It's yeah, nice.
Good idea.
Shuffling
good idea.
Of everything is great.
Yeah, that's yeah. so
your
cool.
Your wards and your couriers.
I like my couriers and wards too much.
Level 4, Kunkka's Carrier, Lieutenant Squawkins.
Courier.
He's pretty cool.
I saw this carrier. He's adorable.
It's cute.
It's adorable.
It's a parrot. Yeah. It's a parrot to carry...
Not my favorite ever,
carry your manta style out to your,
right.
out to your Luna. Level 5, 220% booster. Level 6, more loading screens. Level 7, a custom TP effect.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Which I think it's like purple and particle-y.
I haven't seen it, but I hope so.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds awesome.
All right, I'm in.
Level 8, 230% booster. Level 9, custom fountain healing effect. I saw this, and when you're in the fountain and you're healing, like your character will like glow purple.
So it's all purple because it's a purple compendium.
Correct.
Why is this the purple year? Do we know? Just because? Did they rotate? Was it green?
So it's the year of the dragon.
Purple? Year of the dragon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And which is purple.
What? What is that? Ben totally bought into that.
Yeah.
Well, TI2 was, I believe, blue.
Obviously.
TI3 was green. And I guess purple is just...
I wonder what the first one was.
The next one.
Anybody know the first color?
White, I believe. White. Yeah. White.
Okay, mm-hmm. great.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for your insight.
There's no discernible pattern to the color.
No.
When we get closer,
it's not
to
even
TI5,
like a Roy G. Biv.
Right. That's what I was wondering. TI5, we're going to have to figure out what the color is ahead of time.
Indigo.
Black. Everything Indigo. Black.
Yeah. Everything black. Ooh.
Yeah.
Black is the
you load
black.
Up your compendium and it's just black.
Yeah.
It's like the
blackness.
It's like the Spinal Tap album cover.
So if they keep the purple font like writing here, the purple on black should look really good.
That'll look really neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's also, you can make some qualifier predictions. You can make all sorts of predictions about the qualifiers and the actual event, which you can also get for points to level up your compendium. And I believe there's also a fantasy league. So we're definitely going to make the We Like
Dota
fantasy league.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. All day.
And I think, by the way, I think for the Dream League fantasy league, I'm pretty sure I'm still in last.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you
and
are
And I'm pretty
too.
Sure Scott... who wasn't even able to load the Fantasy League interface, is winning.
So he did the computer draft for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the key. That's what I'm going to do.
So hopefully they got that all figured out by the time the International 4 Fantasy League happens.
It's like picking March Madness.
Jared, right? Randomly stop, stop putting in this stuff for me, Jared. I want to make my own decisions. Stop.
So what we're
stop,
guessing here.
Stop doing this. Crystal Maiden is not going to have the highest gold per minute, Jared.
That's the one that I saw that was looking the most interesting.
What about the last hits? Yeah, Disruptor?
Hero with most deaths.
Right.
Probably going to be Meepo.
Right. For those who don't know what we're doing, Jared is now trolling Brian and has put in false qualifier predictions for Brian, picking Crystal Maiden as highest GPM hero.
It's ridiculous.
In a single game. Which could happen. You never know.
Absolutely could.
No, it could never happen. Ever.
If it does.
Maybe back when Hand of Midas was popular in Crystal Maiden. Right. Crystal Maiden's not even drafted anymore.
Not too often. No.
All right. What else is there to talk about in the compendium? There's some team overviews and team bios and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, those are pretty neat.
Yeah, those
there's
are
card collecting again. Pretty nice. Like there was last year, we were collecting trading cards.
There is. Players.
There will be.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
I really like that.
Yeah,
I thought
that's
going to
be back in.
Okay. So from here, I think we were going to talk about the qualifiers.
You know what we missed?
What'd we miss, Ben?
Go back to the compendium rewards because you have to earn the points, right? And there was one of the neat features they had. To earn the points was the 10 hero challenge. Did we talk about the 10 hero challenge?
Oh, yeah. Where is that? Oh, yeah.
So the 10 hero challenge. So the way that works is you can earn 300 points, which I think if the levels can stay consistent, that's about three levels.
Okay.
By winning a game with 10 different heroes that are randomly selected for you. So essentially you're given a draft of 10 heroes. You have to win a game for each of those 10 heroes, and then you get 300 points towards your compendium.
So everybody's heroes are different.
Correct.
Everybody's different. Oh, that's awesome.
And you can reroll
once.
You can reroll once. So
that's awesome. Oh, you get good heroes, Brian. Yeah.
I know.
And it only rerolls the heroes that you did not, you know, get the win on.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's at least my understanding. I think when it warned me, I can do it once, and it only rerolls the ones you have not won.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it should be a really good feature.
So we're going to get you some wins on Pugna and Tide, and you got some good heroes there.
Yeah, Shrek,
it's gonna be fun.
Drought, Silencer,
yeah.
Treant,
yeah.
Who looks to be the hardest for you? What do you
probably Lashrek?
I think Lashrek might be it. Yeah, for you.
Yeah, either that or
he's got so much going on.
Yeah,
Pugna as well. He's just so squishy.
Pugna or Treant probably.
Treant's not that hard.
You might be okay with
Treant. I can give you some tips.
He doesn't have enough in his kit to really make it too difficult to play, I don't think.
Yeah. But the one that I was worried about is Ancient Apparition, and I got a match on him right off the bat.
There you go. Get him out of the way.
You knocked him right up.
Sure. Kyle and I played a match Friday. Well, it would have been Saturday morning at 3:30 a.m.
Perfect.
The compendium
like a true
came
American.
Out. Kyle and I both bought him, and we're like, let's do this. And okay, Ben, you can write this down in your calendar. I'm making a public retraction.
A declaration.
I had a great time with Ancient Apparition.
Wow, because you used to hate him.
I used to hate him. He is...
Well, not just 2 months ago. You said he was...
Mostly worthless.
Right.
And he has come to become probably one of the most picked supports in the pro scene,
like,
which
literally,
is really funny.
Literally the week after I played him, he became super popular.
Is his ultimate not like one of the most fun abilities in the entire game?
It's so much fun. I was getting so many kills with it. There was a Chaos Knight who would go and farm the Radiant Ancients, and I had that warded up the entire game.
Mm-hmm. You warded that bad boy.
So every time he'd go over there from the fountain, I would just shoot the AA ultimate, and it'd take away like 25% of his health. It was great. Like,
nailed it.
You.
Yeah.
Sucker.
That thing was
sucker.
Yeah, so I had a good time on him.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, and there's also, you remember from the New Year update that we had?
Not at all.
New Year update? You remember how you could offer items
as a sacrifice?
You could put
the thing
in
that most people complained about because you never got anything back.
Right, that's fair.
That feature's back.
I think Ben and I both put in about 30 items and got one.
I didn't get anything back, I don't think.
You didn't? No. I got like two things, I think.
Well, lucky you.
I think I lost them in...
It's the hated feature has returned.
I think I lost them in
it's great.
Esports.
I think I'll get into it.
Yeah, as long as you think of it as a nicer delete button, I think you're okay. Because that's really what it is. You're just getting rid of your junk and hoping something comes back.
But look at this. At least participating in giving your items, you get at least 25 points.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then there's also points for collecting cards and that kind of stuff. So
pretty neat.
Yeah, that's all very exciting.
I think it's a good compendium so far. Do you think they're going to patch it and add some things to it? Because I didn't see a section for like the actual international. I mean, I'm assuming they're just going to update as it goes along, right? Because we just have the qualifier.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
And I'm also very excited about the All-Star match. You can put your All-Star team together.
That's pretty cool. Here, I'll put it together for you.
Okay, thanks, Jared.
Can only troll so hard.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. Let's move on, guys. In there.
Yeah, I'm looking for them.
Okay, so let's talk about the TI4 qualifiers, which begin tomorrow. The North American TI4 qualifiers begin May 12th. They are the 12th through the 15th. The Southeast Asia ones are the 16th through the 19th. The Chinese ones are the 20th through the 23rd, and the European ones are the 24th through the 27th. So these two are way too engrossed with the competitive.
Yeah, can you take it off the screen?
Should have never given us a mouse.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put the mouse away.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, now we're.
Do you want the mouse back
on track? Yeah, we're back on track now. Okay.
So the North American TI4 qualifiers. Are we excited about these? Are we excited about any of the qualifiers?
Well, I think so.
I am honestly.
Okay.
I am very excited, Brian.
They start at noon tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not excited about that.
I will be at work.
Right.
And I will be watching them.
Watching?
Well, at noon, probably. Okay. I'll try to take my lunch at that time.
Yeah. Okay. I will be watching.
Yeah. I have my staff meeting at 2 o'clock, so I'll miss probably game 3 of the first one. Because they are best threes, right?
I think it's round robin. It actually says in that thing we just had to close down because we got distracted. I think it's actually a round robin initially.
You can. Okay, I give you permission to click back
click on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to go back in there.
Also, Brian, you might want to make sure that you go through your compendium and actually look at things.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to.
Because I definitely made some choices.
Oh, you're in the appendix now, Ben. Go back.
I'm working on it. There we go. America's. Okay, each team plays the other 9 teams.
Okay, so round robin, got it.
And then the top 4 teams proceed to a double elimination bracket.
Interesting, okay.
And we were gonna do some guest picks on...
By the way, Revenge is back in the qualifiers.
Now,
Valve did a retraction.
Now, explain the situation here, Brian, for people that don't know.
Okay, so the way it works is when you get an an invitation to compete in the qualifiers, Valve says, this is the team and this is the lineup, right? So they invite certain people. Your lineup is locked in.
Right. You're locked in to the 5 people that are invited. Basically, they're not just inviting teams. They're inviting these 5 people on this team.
Correct. And... there was 2 teams that this kind of happened with where they tried to do a bit of a roster change. And I guess one, Valve didn't really communicate too clearly that was happening, that you couldn't change your roster.
Well, right. What wasn't communicated was that even the qualifier invites, that rule held fast for.
Correct.
They thought that was only for the actual invites, not for qualifiers.
Yeah.
Direct invites, that's what they call them.
So, and I guess there were some teams that Valve couldn't find the communication from Valve hasn't been excellent from what I've heard, which is kind of typical of Valve. But also they've had issues even finding lineups that some of these teams play with on a consistent basis. Because some teams, they don't even have like websites with their rosters on it. Any team that is serious needs to have a website with the roster, who your players are, you know, all that stuff, you know. So I don't know. I kind of feel like everyone's putting a lot of blame on Valve, which some of it's warranted.
Yeah.
But I also think some of it's unwarranted.
There it is. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. Long story short, Revenge is back in it.
So are there 11 teams now for the Americas?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
There is.
Interesting.
So
because top 5 was added, correct?
I think
it was top 5 that was added.
Yeah. So I'm thinking let's just talk real quick about the finals for the qualifiers. I'm thinking it'll be
Americas go.
Sneaky Nick's Assassins.
Okay.
North American Rejects.
Yep.
Revenge.
Okay.
Liquid.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think Liquid's gonna win it.
Who's coming out? What do you think?
I think Liquid's coming out.
Yeah, I think Liquid's coming out also.
I think North American Rejects are coming out.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
But I think Liquid's still the better team.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about them for them being a solid roster.
You know, I really hope E-Hug does something.
Yeah, I do
too. I think they would be another option to maybe come out of that. I think it's
no, possible. I think they're terrible, but I want them to be good. They're the Cubs. They are the Cubs of like North American Dodo.
But I think they could come out of this. Not that they're going to go anywhere after it, but I think they
might be able to sneak in a fourth place, because I think with both the Sneaky Knicks Assassins and North American Rejects, I think they both have the same kind of downfall where if they don't draft well, they can't really overcome it with play,
yeah,
because they haven't played together enough.
Did you see in the Summit qualifiers?
Yes, I did.
The Liquid versus Sneaky Knicks Assassins match
that was embarrassing.
Yeah, Liquid or Sneaky Knicks Assassins. It was just Tiny who was up.
Yeah,
Tiny was super farmed. Liquid was taking their base down, and he just pretty much just a moved across the map and just took out the base and
thrown it.
Thrown it.
Yeah,
they should not have won that match.
No.
But they did.
They did.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
For Liquid.
Hell of a game, though.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Whew. Anyway, enough of the qualifiers.
Yep.
So here on Inside Esports.
So, hey, how about we...
Let's talk about the Hero of the Week.
Can we flip over to the other screen now?
Yeah. What do you want? I don't know what you want. You want the show notes?
Yeah, I want the show notes. I want to see what we're talking about.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the Hero of the Week.
Some bone dinger.
Which is Broodmother.
Yeah.
And, freaking Broodmother.
Tell me about the Broodmother, Brian.
I think it took me three matches to get a win on her.
Yeah.
Which isn't as bad as...
Beastmaster.
Right. Which Beastmaster is kind of hovering in the meta now, by the way. I've seen him drafted several times.
As much as Undying is.
Maybe more so. Quit trying to make Undying happen, Jared.
It's happening.
I think if you just give it a couple weeks, it will be there.
I think so, too.
Yeah. But yeah, Broodmother...
EG just picked him, by the way. Did you see that?
Just now?
Yeah, that game against Fnatic.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's fair.
So do we think we're going to see an Undying in the championship series?
Like, whoa.
Oh, we almost lost the mic.
I'm good.
The excitement level is very high from Jared.
Yes.
So do you think when that last, you know, we've got the two top teams, they're battling down for the championship. Do you think we're going to see an Undying in one of those matches?
If they want to win.
Okay. So we should if they want to win. Okay.
Very good. So anyway, Broodmother.
Yeah.
She
bringing
is
the brood.
You kind of want to run her as a offlaner.
Yeah,
I think so.
You kind of almost run her like you do Nature's Prophet.
Yeah,
you expect her to do a lot of split pushing.
Mm-hmm.
I think she really needs solo offlane. I think.
Not necessarily. Not if
well. I don't think she needs it, but
how level dependent is she?
I would say more level dependent than gear dependent.
Okay.
She doesn't need a solo offlane, but mm-hmm. it benefits your team more because she can just dominate a lane.
So, yeah, she seems like a lane dominator.
So it would be dumb to do a dual lane.
She's hard to deal with, and that's, I think, her strength is she's hard to deal with. And right now, she can get away very easily.
Correct.
I mean, she can really expand into the other team's jungle a little bit and do a little bit of jungling to get some gold that way, too. And
I think so...
Let's talk about her abilities.
Yeah, let's talk about her kit.
Where's your? Okay, here we go. Sorry, I've got Jared's iPad.
Yeah, you do. Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Okay, skills. The first skill is spawn spiderlings. Broodmother injects her young into an enemy unit, dealing damage. The spiderlings will hatch if the target is killed while under the influence.
Gross.
So that's her Q. The cooldown on that is 10 seconds. Costs 120 mana. Clear across the board. It does 75, 150, 225, and 300 damage, depending on what level it is.
Okay.
And
it's really the root of her ability to push. I mean,
yeah,
that's
totally.
We're getting those spiderlings
so,
out there.
Totally.
Give her the
so you just
push.
inject a creep with that, and then...
Yeah, a creep or an enemy hero hits a nuke a little bit, too, so you can nuke somebody and get some kills. With
right,
even,
but...
So. But yeah, ideally...
They have to die to do the damage, is that correct?
To get the spiderlings.
To get the spiderlings.
Oh, okay, so the damage is done.
It's a debuff. Right. It does damage, and you get a debuff. If you die while the debuff is active, then the spiderlings.
Oh, okay,
so
now I got you.
You can use it to chase.
Yeah.
It's an ability that you can use to chase. It's obviously the main thing you want to do.
700 range.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And that's why it's a chance ability. I mean,
yeah.
And also, depending on what level it is, you get more spiderlings. Right. Yeah, at level four, you get four spiderlings.
You can get a lot of spiderlings, and you can take down a tower pretty fast.
Yeah, there's no max to how many you can have.
Right, but how long do they last?
Quite a while. What's it say on there for the duration?
The cooldown for the spell is 10 seconds, but I don't know how long they last.
I mean,
they last like a minute or two.
They're there quite a bit. Yeah. I mean, they're
so longer than treants.
They're easy. And it's one of those things where you want to make sure you're not feeding the other team gold. That's where it can go wrong.
Right. Well, that's exactly it. I mean, because
same with Nature's Prophet. You just can't just be. But again, it allows for that split push possibility. Mm. It gives some good options there.
So. Oh, classy. Okay.
Yeah, nice. We can see that there.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
If you go up here. Oh, whoa. The spiderlings. Does it say how long they last?
It doesn't say how long.
No, it doesn't.
The heck, man.
Please fix.
All right. Well, they're there.
They're there long enough. I think the key is they're there long enough. And they'll actually, I think they stealth too in the web.
Yes, oh, okay.
Do. So
classy.
Okay. Her W ability is spin web. Throws out a web that renders Brood Mother invisible, grants a passive movement speed increase, gives free movement. If I could italicize that, I would. And boosts regeneration while in its vicinity. Free movement is disabled for 3 seconds if damage is taken.
Okay.
Webs never expire. Mm-hmm. When the maximum limit of webs is exceeded, the oldest one disappears. So it costs 50 mana, has a cooldown of 30 seconds, which kind of stinks.
But it's okay. That's
the range is 1,000.
Wow.
And the allowed webs is 2, 4, 6, and 8. The bonus regen is 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Oh.
The movement speed bonus is 20, 25, 30, and 35%.
All right.
And this is the reason she's not in captain's mode right now.
Right, is the free movement.
Yeah, the free movement is obviously exploitable.
So what you can do is, what I was doing, I had this at max level with 8 webs. And what you can do is you can put them in the lane.
Yeah.
If I was on the Radiant side, I was pushing the top lane, the off lane.
Right.
So you can put the webs in the lane, so you're invisible in the webs. And then you can also put them in the trees that's along the side of the map.
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone comes along,
you just walk up there and you
just
run
walk
away.
In the trees. Yeah, stay in the trees.
Stay in the trees.
And
genius.
The other thing that's nice about that is the regeneration. I mean, she has so much lane sustainability. So she can get experience because she's, you know, cloaked if she needs to be cloaked. She can regain health pretty fast. I mean, that regen's pretty generous and she can just stay there for all day, basically.
Pretty classy.
Yeah, it's great.
Pretty classy.
Yeah, so that's really good.
Okay.
Then her other two abilities they're just kind of okay. Her E is a passive ability, Incapacitating Bite. Broodmother's Venom cripples enemy units, causing her attacks to slow and giving the affected unit a chance to miss its attacks. And this is also a unique attack modifier.
I see that.
So no desolators or anything like that.
Just kind of a bummer in some ways because it's not doing more than it is.
Right.
But you could choose not to level it.
Correct.
You could.
Correct.
You could.
That's true.
So the miss chance is 30, 40, 50, and 60%. And the move slow is 10, 20, 30, and 40%. Do the spiderlings get this? I don't think they do.
I don't believe they do.
I don't believe so.
So it's kind of okay. And we will talk about the ultimate, which is her R, right? Is that R for ultimate?
Yeah, it's an R.
Yeah.
R.
Insatiable hunger, a violent lust for vital fluids increases Broodmother's attack damage and gives her a vampiric attack. The mana cost is 100, cooldown is 45 seconds, bonus damage is 60, 80, and 100. The lifesteal is 60, 80, and 100, and the duration is 14 seconds. So,
wild.
At max level, it's kind of like a free satanic.
It's pretty nice, really. Yeah. I mean, if you can get in behind somebody and then let that go, then you're doing damage. You've got sustainability there with the lifesteal.
Totally.
Well, yeah, you'd probably want to pop it after taking some attacks, obviously.
Right. Yeah, you do it right after. Yep.
So those are her abilities. And basically,
she's got a pretty neat kit, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. Kind of the priority that I went with was spin web, spawn spiderlings, insatiable hunger, and then an incapacitating bite.
I think you could switch the spiderlings and the spin web depending on how many webs you need out there, but that's about
it. Yeah, depending on what you want to do.
Last 60 seconds, by the way.
Oh, 60 good. Seconds, okay. Yeah. So, it's it's good. Like, all of that is nice on paper. But the only thing is that she is countered super, super hard by detection.
As well, most stealth heroes are. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, if they're just throwing down a sentry ward,
yeah,
grab one of your own. It's 200 gold.
Yeah.
Counter it.
Yeah, deward that thing. Totally.
I think it's that, and she can spread out so far with those webs. Like, her invisibility is just... I mean, she has to kind of claim her territory a little bit, so you have an idea of where she is, but I think that's enough that she can last there. But
yeah, I was finding that earlier on, I was getting countered by detection really easily, but
which
found
makes sense.
That just hiding in the trees was the way to go.
Yeah. Right, those trees.
Get in the trees.
Yep. Yeah. So what I would do is, I was in the off lane, as I said, and kind of, I was having a really rough game up until about the 20-minute mark.
Okay.
Once I got spawn spiderlings up to 4 levels and spin webs up to 4 levels. And
so level 9.
So I just put webs.
Actually, probably, you probably could skip her alt at 6 and just.
Oh, yeah, totally. I didn't level up her ultimate until like level 9, I don't think. And, so yeah, I put webs in the jungle, in the dire jungle. So I was playing Radiant, and I put him in the dire jungle. I just pretty much took over the jungle, put webs up in the trees to the north, so that if anyone came my way, I'd just hide up in the trees. And what would happen is they were so freaked out and worried about me
that
they would overreact and send like 4 heroes over to me. And they'd be missing out on farm, they'd be missing out on kills because they couldn't kill me. And it just made space for the rest of the heroes.
Space created. Absolutely.
Made space for the rest of the team to farm and get levels and everything. So it was pretty successful. I didn't really carry on her. I don't think she necessarily is a carry.
She carries like Nature Prophet carries.
She's not a 1. I don't think you want to have her as your 1. But I think she can put enough damage out there. I think she can do enough in the lane. Yeah. Because in the off lane, if you put her with somebody, you know, I know you want to do a solo off lane, but I think if you put her with somebody else who is hard to deal with, it can really throw their carry off. I think that's maybe where there's an advantage there.
Forcing
their carry to play a little differently.
Yeah, I wasn't getting a ton of kills with her, but it's not about kills. It's more about the map control.
I think it's map
control.
So I got some pretty good map control out of it, and I had a fun time. I would say core items for her are wand, soul ring. Especially if you can get a soul ring up really early, because you can spawn spiderlings more, you can spin webs more.
Okay.
And that goes along with her regen and the web.
Right.
So, probably the fact that she's also got all of these minions or whatever, a Bassy ring into a ring of Aquila would probably make a lot of sense.
Yeah, she's an agility-based hero, and you know they're going to benefit from that as well, because of the auras.
Right.
Even like Vlad's, I think, would work really well. Give your spiderlings some bonus lifesteal.
Right.
You know, that could be good too. Power treads, and then either BKB or Orchid, depending on if you need the BKB for, you know, if you keep getting nuked down or,
right,
you know, whatever. So yeah, I had a fun time with her. I don't know. I would rather draft Nature's Prophet because,
well, yeah,
his teleport is so good.
Yeah. He's pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't
much
know.
More of a global presence.
She's not a part of Captain's Mode. You can't draft her in Captain's Mode because she's considered quote unquote broken because of the movement, the free movement. So,
which makes sense.
Yeah.
Although Batrider has the same thing going on.
Right.
That's true. He does.
It just doesn't play out the same.
No, that's true. Yeah. It's not constant. It's on a cooldown.
Right.
Yeah.
I think at max level it has like an 75% uptime, though.
Yeah,
but
I just don't think it's... Yeah, I don't know.
So, Ben, you played Broodmother, right?
I have, yeah.
What were your experiences with her?
You played Meepo as well, correct?
I'm such a Meepo player.
I hear you're a good Meepo player, Ben.
Right. I had a more positive experience with her. I think at our skill level, she can be pretty effective just because people don't know how to deal with stealth.
We've got so many snacks up here, by the way.
Right, there's so many snacks.
I'm going to have 7 cavities.
Right. I don't know if... It will be interesting to see if she gets into a rotation once she does get into Captain's Draft. And obviously, in Captain's Mode...
Do you think she ever will? She'll ever get in Captain's
Mode? Oh, yeah. But I think she's going to get...
She was at one time.
Yeah, she'll get reworked again, though. I think they'll have to change that web again. And I'm not sure what they're going to do with it, but... I think we'll see her again, but I think at that point she's going to be a different hero. So we'll see what we can talk about it at that point. But right now, I think she's fun to mess with when, at our skill level, most people don't pick those wards, even though they know they need to. So,
yeah.
That's true.
So if you're playing against an invisibility hero, always have either wards or dust.
I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Or a necro level 3.
Right. Or a necro level 3. It's like a gem that's on a cooldown.
Right.
Without all the risk.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of ways to get vision, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there is.
So, I don't know. I had a Ben, you and I played a game where a carry was really upset that we didn't have dust on the supports, which we did.
You just didn't use it?
No, I did.
You just didn't hit it.
Dust is a responsibility of everyone. I don't disagree with that. If you're playing against an invisibility hero, unless you're six slotted, you should have dust.
It pays for itself. I think that's the big thing too.
Yeah,
if you get those kills with that.
Well, not just that, but if you're a hero that's pushing or split pushing or anything like that, you have to have it if you're playing against an invisibility hero or somebody that has a shadow blade, whatever it might be.
Right. So anyway, there's that.
How's that brownie treating you, Brian?
It's so good. Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, we're fine. Oh, jeez.
So that brings us into the Noobs Ask Noobs segment. I got a mouthful of brownie.
Sounds pretty chewy. Is it chewy?
It's pretty chewy. Jared, I'm going to let you take the reins here.
Sure. Because he just shoved an entire brownie in your mouth?
I did.
All right. So we got two questions that we're going to talk about today. We have a couple other that we're banking in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to get to everybody's questions, but we're, for the sake of time, not going to be able to answer everything every week and everything like that. So,
yep.
Our first question comes via the Reddit thread. It's from the Reddit user New Account Bitches.
New Account Bitches.
Classy name.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. First time asker, long time listener. Which, great intro.
Yes.
I would like to ask, why do you think there are less good American pro teams compared to the rest of the world?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a really good question.
Does it have to do with the popularity of the game? I mean, I think that's part of it, right? Esports is not...
I think that's part of it.
It's not as big a thing here yet.
But I think American esports is more focused on games like Call of Duty, things like that, because American society, in my opinion, is a little more ADD.
Okay.
We are.
Yeah. No, I think so.
I think that's...
And I think that Call of Duty is much more...
It's a 10-minute match.
Right. Point and click, too.
Right. Point and click, 10 minutes.
There's not much strategy to it, as much as people think that there is.
It's just about getting ahead and staying ahead.
Totally.
Yeah.
So anything that's more of a strategy-based game, I don't think is going to be doing as well in America, in my opinion.
We totally crap on Call of Duty in this podcast.
We do.
We do.
Which I used to play Call of Duty a lot.
Yeah.
Which I still would if I had an Xbox at work.
I even bought the new one, but the new one, not a big fan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I think it's to me.
Everyone's been crapping on the new one, too.
Yeah, I'm over Call of Duty.
Crapping on the crap.
Well,
what's your opinion, Brian?
There's actually a decent number of American Dota 2 teams.
I would agree.
And there's also a decent number of League of Legends teams in America, I believe.
That is very true.
Yeah. I think part of what it is the culture. Esports are way more popular and even accepted in Korea and in China. If any of you watched the free-to-play movie, the South Korean soccer team, or football, for those of you in another region, they went to the World Cup. And to encourage the soccer players, they sent Korean StarCraft II players to get them pumped up and to encourage them. That's crazy!
It's a little weird.
That's crazy.
It's a little weird coming from us.
So it's the esports people are like the celebrities and the big shots in other parts of the world. So I think part of what it is just it's not as much of an accepted thing here. And I think it's starting to become more and more popular.
I would agree with that.
And a viable career choice.
For a little while,
yeah.
Let me ask you this, because you and I went to MLG Columbus.
Yeah.
And the demographic there was... You know, it tended to be people probably in the range of 20 to 35 were into the Dota, the Dota matches, and then it was probably more 15 to 22 that were into Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
With that being said, is that worrisome?
Duty.
Is that worrisome that the younger generation is gravitating towards Call of Duty? Is that bad for Dota?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
Yeah, I think...
I think it's exactly what makes sense for their age groups.
So you think that those people graduate and then play Dota when they
right,
get older?
Yeah, more okay. of a strategy-based game.
Okay.
Yeah, and, well, and I don't even know, admittedly, too much about the Call of Duty professional scene. Or the
I would agree with that.
Professional
yeah.
scene. So take what we're saying with a grain of salt. But
huge grain, like kosher salt.
Correct. Which is delicious,
or,
by the
or
way.
Or sea salt, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Sea salt would be another large grain salt.
Right. Any kind of a large grain salt.
It seems to me like the Dota 2 scene is a little bit more mature.
Rock salt, possibly.
It is, yeah. I guess...
Let it go, Jared.
Yes, the Dota 2 scene is so much more mature.
Are we worried? I guess we're not worried about that catching on.
Though. I don't mean mature as in like, hey, we're more mature than you, but just more developed.
They are, and maybe that just goes with the genre. I don't know if that's similar in other countries. I think, you know, you look at the NBA or in the NFL, and, you know, they're obviously marketing towards kids because they want those kids playing football and basketball in high school and junior high because they're going to be the future athletes.
Yeah,
right.
Is Dota missing out on not doing that? I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed being in people who are in my demographic.
Blizzard has started to do this, though. Right. They have started to offer support money to, like, collegiate esports clubs.
That's true.
You know, to have
that's pretty neat.
And to have
that's pretty neat.
Is that going to Call of Duty or is it going to Dota?
Well, Blizzard, it would be going to
well, the Blizzard games. But I think it's for anything, though.
It's for anything, yeah.
Oh, really?
I would assume it's going to
League of Legends.
Dota and League and Hearthstone and stuff. I honestly think anything that benefits esports benefits
everything.
Other games.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
The more and more it becomes more mainstream, I think you're going to see professional players be able to make money easier in other games. So,
well, right.
And I think that'll lead to North Americans being better at the game.
And you could be right. And MLG may have been the first time a lot of those Call of Duty fans got exposed to Dota. So maybe they watched a match. You know? I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. And I also think, you could also say, like, in Asian countries, they typically play for like 18 hours a day, you know, 16, 17, 18 hours a day. So I don't know if it's maybe just like, I mean, that's a whole other conversation about like practice regimen and,
right.
You know, are you working on, you know, specifically last hitting or are you just doing scrims or I don't know. That was something
I'm
that
practicing
was
practicing pulls right now.
Yeah, as you should be. That was something that was popular in StarCraft is right about as I stopped playing StarCraft a lot.
Competitively.
Not even competitively.
Super competitively.
Super competitively. More like super raging. God, that game pissed me off so bad. Jared, your mic almost fell over.
Yeah, I know. It's unbalanced today.
But anyway, something that was really popular in StarCraft is, you know, there was this revelation of, hey, just doing scrims and playing matches against other people isn't enough. You need to be practicing specific things.
Right.
Right. Mechanics, if
mechanics,
you will.
Right. So, I don't know. There's a number of reasons that, you know, the North American scene is behind, but I don't know.
Interesting.
That's our take on it.
Yeah.
All right. Next question, Jared.
Next question we have from Cheeks of Flappin.
Cheeks of Flappin. Who's a nice guy?
Another classy name.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How old is too old to play Dota? I am 34. Am I too old?
I'm going to let Ben answer this one.
Yeah, as the resident old man here.
Right, and to clarify, Jared is not 34. That is Cheeks of Flappin, who that's part of his question.
Yeah. He was there on Friday to play matches
he
with
was.
Us, by the way.
Yeah, he was.
Nice guy.
Very nice
Had a fun
guy.
Time. Played a mean support Sven.
Right.
Oh, classy.
Yeah.
Best Worked friends. Well.
I mean, I think, you know, what does it mean to play Dota? I mean, at a competitive professional level, we were looking at the list of people who are on those professional teams, and I think Fear is the oldest at maybe 27, 28.
I think, yeah, something like
something
that.
Something along those lines. You know, you may not be able to be a professional Dota player, but I mean, are you ever too old to have fun? Probably not. You know, I think it's still an enjoyable game. Certainly my hands cramp up, my back hurts while I'm playing. And so, yeah, I don't know if I
34 years young.
Yeah, 34 years young is Cheeks of Flappin. So, I think if you're still having fun with it, go ahead and play. And I think
absolutely,
you know, the nice thing about the Dota community is there's a lot of people who are in their 30s that play this game. It's not an
We found out that it's people who are similar to our age group, which is kind of cool.
A little more in our demographic than anticipated.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Ben.
Yes, Ben.
Is there an age limit to how old you can be playing professional Dota 2 or even League of Legends?
I don't know. I think it's a young sport, so I think we'll see. But, you know, it's interesting because there's a little bit of physical dexterity that's required for that. But,
right.
But
not and reaction speed.
And reaction speed, but not to the extent of an NFL or an NHL or something along those yeah, lines. But
right.
We are seeing people retiring out of these esports at a very young age.
24, 25.
Right. But I wonder how much of that is the physical toll versus how much of that is this is not a viable career yet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
When you get to that point where this is a viable career and people are making millions of dollars,
you might see a guy being 35
in their
even
40s,
40.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're making money off of this yeah. and you're planning your retirement
and you can
this,
support actually, a family and that, if that's important to you, if that's important yeah. to you, if it's not, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So I think it's going to depend more
whoa,
on.
Whoa, Jared. Whoa.
That's fine.
But it's going to depend more on what happens with the esports and just how they're set up now. I mean, the gaming houses and that kind of thing,
right,
is that
right,
sustainable
right, right,
for somebody in their 30s? Probably not. But, you know,
you might need your own bathroom.
Right. If the sport changes to accommodate these type of things and they have maybe they have off seasons or those type of things, it may be more
yeah.
viable.
No, I would agree. That might be something that we're seeing. Like, I think League has an actual off season, correct, for their competitive. Do we know?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they have they're more structured. They're a little bit further ahead in terms of an esport.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's more continuity between everything.
They are. And they're yeah. paid by Riot, from my understanding, too. They're yeah. actually paid by the developer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I would assume kind of like in actual sports, I hate to make that comparison, but once the money is there, you know, once it makes sense, you'll have people, you know, like Evil Geniuses. They would all be based out of San Francisco.
Right.
And you would assume they would have their own housing. And, you know, they, you know, go and meet in, you know, the Evil Geniuses offices to play for a couple hours a day to practice. And then they go home.
Right.
You know, like a football or basketball player would do.
Yeah. I would think, you know, we see even in these other professional sports that are probably more of a physical toll involved. We do see people who stretch those careers out for a very long period yeah, of time.
Absolutely.
I think that's definitely possible. I think it's more of just being such a young esport that doesn't have the finances.
Do you have fear as a 35-year-old captain of Evil Geniuses?
Am I guessing that?
Yeah.
I don't know him real well, but I would
with
assume he's going to have a couple more years left at
with
least.
With the fact that he's missed the last, 6 months
yeah.
with the wrist surgery?
Yeah.
See, that's...
So again, we're going to have some physical limitations
yeah, absolutely.
That pop into it.
Absolutely.
Because of the strain that they're putting these people through. And, you know, if the sport stays that way where you're, you know, having people practice 12 hours a day.
Right. Which obviously
the human body's not going to be
yeah.
able to sustain that.
And now with new ergonomics that are coming out, you know,
yeah.
it might be a little better, right. but 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When, you know,
yeah. Part of me wonders, you know, hey, if you have, you know, your team manager or you hire somebody who is, you know, a therapist or whatever for the
right.
team, you know, who says,
a physical therapist,
you know, sets up your desks for you and everything so that you're
right.
not killing
an
your
ergonomic
body.
Specialist.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Do you,
that could be a thing. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't,
we're just not there yet. Where's the Tommy John surgery for the person? Who
I don't,
the,
yeah, I don't see
issue with clicking too fast.
Right. Yeah. No, that's probably a thing.
It will be
tendon replacement.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, sure.
It wouldn't
surprise
me.
And that's just where we have to get to the point where people are going to have the type of medical insurance and the money's there
yeah.
to support those type of surgeries to keep somebody's career going.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
I think once the money's there, you'll start to see players staying in the scene longer
oh, sure.
and longer.
I would agree.
I think that's the big,
I would agree.
That's
yeah.
the big issue.
That'd be really cool.
And teams get more established.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because there's a lot of switching going on. There's not.
Well, right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, the sponsoring teams.
The sponsoring. It just, there's not enough stability there.
And, right.
And
I agree.
And I think when you get to your 30s, you start looking for stability.
Yeah.
That's why you bought a house.
That's why you buy a house. That's why you do all those things. And
you get the dogs.
You start thinking career instead of job. And I think
yeah.
I think right now Dota is a job, but it can't be a career. I don't
right.
think we're there yet.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I would agree as well. All right, guys, I think that brings us to the end of this week's program.
I would say we kicked it out.
Let's kick it over. Okay, as is tradition, Jared, where can we find you online?
Twitter is okay. normally where you can find me online.
Yep.
Plus 3000 is the handle, PLUS number 3000.
Yep. I notice you've been tweeting more.
I've been trying to do that.
But not as much as Ben has been.
That's true.
You told me that I have fans, which is hard for me to believe. yeah, why would I have any fans? But I have been. So you're like, you need to tweet for your fans. So for my...
Yeah, people love you, Ben.
At that point, when you told me this, I had 7 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And I went...
Seven people who care what you have to say.
I went a little tweet crazy, if yes. that's a thing. And I tweeted some more, and I have eight.
I wouldn't say followers. You've gone tweet Whoa. Crazy.
I have, yeah, I got an, Jeez, I'm beats, I gained man. A follower.
You have actually, an appropriate actually, number
I,
of tweets.
Right, I actually know the guy, but anyway.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
you're not that person who's tweeting every 2 minutes while they watch Pretty Little Liars on ABC Family.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if people want pictures of my breakfast or not. I'm still feeling that out. But
I love breakfast.
Yeah. But you can, I would like to see
right.
pictures of your breakfast.
Right. I don't usually even eat breakfast, so it'd yeah. be a blank plate. Anyways.
You can still tweet that.
I could. You can find me at Dota Yadneb on the Twitters. And that's where I'll be.
Okay. You can find me online on Twitter at TheYinger, BYINGER. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Sabone, SHBONE. More than likely, Ben streams with me. So
I do stream with you.
Yeah. Well, it's more we play games, and then I go, hey, Ben, I'm streaming this.
Right. And I also do some streaming.
Great.
I don't even know what my... I think it's /Yadneb.
Follow. It's a Yadneb TV.
Yeah, Yadneb TV.
Which there is classy.
Yeah, very classy.
It's classy. You can also find us on the web, welikedota.com. Check out our subreddit, reddit.com/r/welikedota. Post your noobs ask noobs questions. They are stickied at the top. And Kyle, if you're listening, make a thread for community matches.
Yes.
We need some more community matches. I try and get those as they come out because the replays expire within like 5 days or something.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. So, well, I would assume they take up a lot of server space.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, yeah, keep those coming. We try and get to them. We try and cast some of the more interesting ones. So yeah, check that out. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/welikedota.
Subscribe to our channel.
Subscribe. yeah, for streaming, I'm thinking of buying a webcam pretty soon here.
Yeah.
Thinking of, we're going to get into some of that. So apparently people want to see our faces, which
you don't really.
I don't recommend it.
No.
We are three ugly men.
Very unattractive.
Three overweight men.
Which, by the way, the doctor confirmed that I was fat. I went to the doctor. And
did he use the word fat or obese?
Fatty lipids.
Fatty lipids.
Oh. Fatty liver was thrown around.
So he was being fatty liver. He was being technical about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty classy.
There we go.
So
great.
That's what you want.
So we'll have that. And thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week.